Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell.
And I'm Per Fagring.
And we're joining together to do a special interview with Project Censored.
That's right. This is this book has been coming out. It was 35 years now. And I notice it's a bigger book than before, but we'll get into that later. But it's always just jam-packed with all kinds of news you're not supposed to know.
It's just like every year it needs to get thicker because there's more crap to get through.
I guess so.
The press release from Project Censored. We have this book, by the way, and we want you to get it. And this is our membership drive, but we'll get to that in a second. The press release from Project Censored on the website says, in the last 35 years, the so-called mainstream media have been co-opted into a propaganda machine for the transnational corporate power structure, which serves the U.S. NATO military-industrial media empire instead of we the people. Project Censored resists the goals of global empire at the expense of human rights. We resist top-down managed, and I would have more on that.
Well, you know what the mainstream? You know what the mainstream is? That's where the poopaganda flows the deepest.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Yes, we and we hope to interview Mickey Huff and Peter Phillips right now. I think we have Mickey Huff at this moment. And Mickey, hi, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Welcome again to KBOO Portland, KBOO Community Radio. Per Fagring and I are here, and we're very excited once again to be talking to you about a new edition of Censored, Project Censored.
I'm excited to be here. I wish I was in Portland in person, but it's raining down here in Berkeley. So
it's raining up here, too.
Oh, well, so it's sort of like Portland, then. You know, things are cranking up here. People are getting ready in the rain because today we're going to have Occupy Portland crank up at noon down at the waterfront. And we here at KBOO are very much on top of that. I personally am very excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is just a terrific development, and it is something that's still developing, and I think it's a movement. And, you know, before we jump into Project Censored, I'm wondering how you're feeling about it, Mickey Huff.
Yeah, well, in San Francisco, there's a lot going on, a lot of people gathering. The police last night were trying to, at first, break up some of the camps that were going on in the financial district near the Embarcadero there, and I think we're actually ended up trying to issue citations for people for camping without permits and so forth. But at least from what I know now, the people are still there, and more people were actually on their way there last night after 10:30 when some of this was going on. And, you know, this is definitely the kind of movement that we've really needed to see take fruition in this country for a long time. We have to stop outsourcing our hope and our dreams and so forth to, you know, what basically amounts for corporate shills and mouthpieces for the powerful, whether it's Barack Obama or George Bush or whomever. And the only way that things are going to change is if we change it. So I think it's great that that's going to be happening in Portland down on the waterfront, and I'll certainly be there with you all in spirit.
Is that is the center of the San Francisco occupation down by the Embarcadero then, or what?
Yeah, it's right by the financial district there.
Mm-hmm, that's right, yes. I remember I first came to San Francisco before all those buildings even went up. Used to be a great neighborhood, you know. You had the Prado's district and all kinds of stuff down there, but now it's all high rises.
Well, things have changed, and that doesn't necessarily mean for the better.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be bringing you the uncensored stories and the news you're not supposed to know, and we already have to sort through some disinformation coming out about Occupy Portland. There's been a false press release. The false press release says that since there is no leadership, blah, 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 and other things, and it has been traced back to Vanet Technology, Hastings Street, Burnaby, British Columbia.
Really?
So that sort of thing is going on. But Occupy Portland has a website, occupyportland.org. So pull that up for more information. I'll certainly be commenting on it more. But, of course, right now we're interviewing Mickey Huff of Project Censored. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Membership Drive. And we have the book. We have Censored 2012. And it has the top censored stories of 2012. And Mickey and Per, you know, I know that we should just dive into some of these stories.
Well, one thing I notice is that this book seems thicker than before. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, it is, and it's sad but true. After 35 years of, you know, really trying to call out censorship and really trying to generate a serious media literacy movement in this country, and in fact, there is a media literacy movement, and many, many organizations and people are involved in it. But the problem of censorship in its many insidious guises has actually grown and spread We live in a more top-down, medium-managed news and controlled environment now than ever. There are a handful, even smaller as we speak, basically, of major corporations that run what's called the mainstream media. However, we like to call it simply the corporate media because we're the mainstream. There's nothing
right on.
Mainstream about the upper 1% that controls the trickle-down information structure. And we really like to point that out in all the books. And this book is no different. This book is larger, it has more information in it, and it is also arranged in different fashion than the book has been arranged previously. And we're really trying to reach out to many different constituencies where the problem of propaganda seriously impacts people's lives.
It looks good. It's got a bold blue cover, Century 2012, with the Monopoly Man, the capitalist from Monopoly set on there. 1-8. Mickey Huff, let's talk about some of these stories.
Sure.
So, and some of them are pretty shocking. Starts with more soldiers committed suicide than died in combat, and there's some others that grab my eyes, bulbs. But maybe we'll just start at the top. Number one story.
Right, and as your listeners may know, we've been doing this for 35 years, doing a book a year since 1993. We have stories nominated from around the country from people, including your listeners, if they want to nominate stories that they think we should investigate. That's at projectcensored.org. And then our students research these stories. Faculty go and look at these stories. We have over 105 faculty involved in the project and the book this year, several hundred students. We are on 30 different campuses. We're looking for more people all the time to get involved in this media democracy in action movement. So people can contact us at projectcensored.org if they want to be part. This story, again, selected by our national judges, journalists, media scholars, etc., is an interesting one. It's not such that. This story, by the way, highlights the many different guises or many different ways that information can be censored or skewed or spun in its underreporting, because people may have heard about the record numbers of U.S. soldier suicides. NPR had done some coverage of it. There was some writing about it in the corporate press, in the New York Times. There were interviews with military brass and people at the VA talking about, yes, there are record numbers of people in the military committing suicide, and that these people in the military, the upper brass, don't know why, and they don't know what to do about it. However, one of the big parts of this story that got it to the number one slot is that for the second year in a row, right, so this is for the last 2 years, more soldiers killed themselves than died in combat. The numbers were 468 to 462. And the part that was missed or glossed over or left out in the major corporate broadcasts or at NPR was the fact that more people were committing suicide than actually died in combat.
Just when you think war can't get more impossibly grim.
Well, it raises an obvious question, is that who's the enemy here? What's the policy? Exactly. What is going on? What? And again, you have a quote here from General Chiarelli saying, if you know the one thing that causes people to commit suicide, please let us know, because we don't know, he told the Army Times. Well, how about stick young people into an endless cycle of war and occupation, set on a pack of lies? How about totally disrupt people's families and lives over a pack of lies, where there's no real definitions of victory? There's no victory, in fact, period, for anyone, other than maybe some transnational corporate board types and executives and stockholders. This should be a no-brainer. These people are absolutely desperate. They are deeply troubled. They have seen or taken part in absolutely, utterly inhumane and barbarous things. This story is really about the utter inhumanity of empire. And so the ramifications of this story are highly significant, and it is a vehicle. It's a story that is a vehicle to understand what's wrong with U.S. imperial policies, that these soldiers, these military personnel, are killing themselves faster than the purported enemy, which again then goes back to, well, where is the enemy? We're arguing, of course, tacitly, that needs to be reconsidered, and we need a serious a serious reexamination and introspective moment in this country about where we're dumping our resources and what we're doing to generations of young people, not to mention killing over a million Iraqis.
Well, I think some of these soldiers, they've been going back for four or five or more tours of duty also.
Even when they're injured.
True. This is true, and I see this in our students. I see students that come and go, and they've come to class, and they've had a couple tours of duty. The next thing you know, the next semester, they're gone. They're back. I mean, the fortunate or lucky thing for some of these people is that I do see them again. They come back with more stories, with more horror tales to tell. You know, we're talking about young men and women, of course more men, but young men and women, people that are teens, people that are in their 20s, people that should be going to college, people that should be building families, people that should be contributing to communities, not destroying them.
You know, and I guess the moral of the story is stop the imperial wars now.
Well, you know, there was one story in the book that was mentioned, I think, about a woman soldier who was in the mortuary unit and her experiences, you know, kind of collecting body parts and things. I mean, it was just a horrifying tale.
Yeah. Well, in fact, there's a term there called body bagging. It's listed mm-hmm. in the story that they talk about. You know, again, and in this country, you're not allowed to talk about that. You're not allowed to look at that. You're not allowed to see that. You'll remember under the Bush years, they banned photographing even flag-draped coffins. You can't even see, you know, the remains or the consequences of these wars. Yeah, Jim Lehrer on PBS was chastised by other members of the corporate press for having the audacity to read the people's names that had died. Again, that goes to show the level to which that both government and corporate media in this country will go to censor, to the point of disrespecting people that have lost their lives. They will censor the truth from the public because that's the only way they can continue these policies of sheer madness.
You know, Mickey Huff, I feel that we have come to a historic moment here in which the propaganda is beginning to fail and the iron fist is coming out. I was watching a cop beat the crap out of protesters in New York yesterday. You could just see the mania, the rage and the frustration of the cop's faces. He was just beating people back from a barricade with a huge baton, just evidently trying to kill people. Well, you know, this is that historic moment. The democracy movement has broken out. KBOO is there. You can bet KBOO is going to be all over it. Has been. Certainly, Per and I have been on top of this story.
Yes, you know, there's one section, this is sort of further on in the book, it's a section of Project Censored International, and there's a part in there which I found really very interesting, underreported, about the U.S. in Africa.
Yeah, that's right. We had an independent journalist, Ann Garrison.
Yeah, I think I met her one time, yes.
Yeah, she works, does some work with KPFA News. Actually, Peter Phillips and I have a weekly show there, in fact, now ourselves. And we have done some work with Dennis Bernstein, whom I hear is coming up on your station after 10 o'clock. But Ann Garrison has written a lot about U.S. policy in Africa, the title of the chapter, U.S. in Africa, Velvet Glove on a Military Fist. And it's only one chapter. It could easily be a book in its own. And Ann writes about, again, everything from AFRICOM. She writes about, you know, so-called humanitarian aid that actually has very little to do with humanitarian interest at all. So-called peacekeepers from the UN that are actually in combat in Somalia and in other places throughout the African continent. Talks about massive starvation of people. All of this kind of stuff goes widely unreported, and if it is, it is grossly distorted. Particularly, I mean, you know, case in point, most recently, particularly something that many people will know about, was the NATO-U.S. bombing of Libya, the use of depleted uranium in Libya, and the way that those stories are reported, if they're reported at all, is they're spun because it's not difficult to show that Gaddafi was a dictator. It's not difficult to paint the picture that Gaddafi has done egregious things, but they do also leave out all of the other things that Gaddafi has done for Libya on the African continent. And more to point, most in the media have left out that one of the people that was the so-called leaders of the rebel group was actually a late arriver to Libya is that he was spent the last 14 years in Langley, Virginia, at the CIA. That sounds like a classic example of sort of a militaristic CIA astroturfed kind of uprising, where people that might have legitimate grievances are completely co-opted and taken over for Western interests, for neo-colonial interests. You know, there are so many stories and things that go on with U.S. policy in Africa. Again, it's hard to keep up with what really is going on there. Well, and Garrison is someone that has written about this. Keith Harmon Snow has written about this at length, another Project Censored winner over the years. Again, I think, and I guess I'm biased for sure, I think that for 1995, the $20 book price, just one or two of these chapters alone is worth the price of admission, let alone, you know, the first chapter with all the stories and so forth. So, you know, your listeners can do themselves a big favor by both supporting independent free speech radio and KBOO, also help support media literacy organizations like Project Censored, founded by Carl Jensen in 1976, and really share this information with each other. And that's what it's about, building awareness in community. And I know KBOO's been doing that, well, as you said, since 1968. It'd be great to see if you were around till 2068 and beyond. And I know the only way that we can do that is if we work together.
Well, you know, Ann has been covering the story in Rwanda, which has been ignored by a lot of our press. And that story keeps erupting because just the other day, a former ally of Rwandan President Paul Kagame has accused him of boasting about shooting down an airliner back in 1994 on which the then president of Rwanda was on board that plane. And that sort of touched off this whole civil war massacre. And that has been pretty much ignored. Paul Kagame has gotten pretty much a free ride from our corporate press. And they don't mention that he did a lot of training at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
No, this is all true. And, you know, Ann Garrison, again, Ann's chapter is chock full of this kind of information. The story, you know, the story of the Rwandan genocide. And again, as I stated, she goes into sexual violence, how this is a major problem in war, rape, the massive types of inhumane treatment of women. She does end the chapter with what can we do? What can we do about this? And again, what she argues is that we need to really be spreading these types of stories. She says at the end of the chapter, we need to reach out through social networks, web browsers, meet and talk to African people without mediation, you know, except that of the internet itself. She says there's been a paradigm shift that we're just beginning to understand, and Africa is no longer that far away from any place with a net connection, meaning Africa is no longer a blacked out continent. It is possible to communicate. It is possible to know what's happening other than hearing it from the top-down, you know, NATO, U.S. military-industrial media empire. And this is essential in combating the truth emergencies that we face. We need to have factual reporting. We need to share it with each other. And we need to act in concert and take that information literally to the streets, like you folks are going to be doing in Portland this afternoon, like people are doing in San Francisco, in New York, in Boston, around this country. This is the kind of awakening that this country needs, and it can only happen with the free flow of accurate information.
Exactly. I'm really glad that you brought that up. This is KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell, and I'm with Per Fogering, and we are interviewing Mickey Huff about Project Censored. We have the book, Censored 2012, and it is essential. It is an essential aid to your internet connection and your radio dial because it's a physical book that gives you that access to reinforcement of the information that you already know. You don't just have it wash over you. You have the book with you. This is a very useful tool, and it's funny to say, but with the internet and with our radio broadcast, you very much need a book to be on top of these facts. And you know how it all works.
You can dip into it anywhere. It's not a book you have to sort of read and plow through from beginning to end because there's sections and there's articles that are analyze the news. So you can just kind of dip into it anywhere you want. You'll find some really nuggets of information.
And your dog may eat it. My dog recently just ate my copy of satanic verses. I was just saying to the dog, why did you go and get the rarest and most expensive book that I currently have in my collection? And this book also cannot crash. I have a PC that I use for my broadcast, and I was trying to bring it in this morning, and I thought I would call. You know, maybe you've heard that advertisement, doublemypc.com. Well, don't call them. I got them into my computer, and what I got out of it is they got $55 out of me, and I've got the blue screen of death. Don't use it.
Oh,
but
no.
A book won't do that to you. Sensor 2012, we have it, and you need it. And it is essential. I mean, this is the work that Per and I have been doing for all these years. And this moment is a culmination. I think you probably agree with me, Per. This moment feels so good after all this work and after all the years of all the naysayers saying that this could not possibly happen. Well, the internet has changed things, and Sensor 2012 has changed things, and KBOO has changed things, and the people who are out in the street making the democracy movement happen right now are changing things, and it's happening right now, and it is so unbelievably exciting. I'm going to be there. This is the time to move forward with the movement. This is the time to join KBOO by calling 503-232-8818. You need this book. You need to join us. We need your money. We need your participation. And we're still roaring forward with participation. Wow. And that's exciting, too. 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO is the number to call right now to get your hands on Sensor 2012. Right, Bear?
It all begins with educating yourself. You know, you ask, what can you do? First thing you can do is find out what's going on in the world. And there's not too many outlets where you do find out. You get a lot of spin. You get a lot of doctored stories. You get a lot of outright lies from the corporate media. But to really find out what's happening, I think you need sources like Project Censored, a place like KBOO, the Pacifica Network, some various websites on the internet, and that's where it begins. You got to know what's happening. Don't be surprised when the empire falls down all around you. I think it's beginning to crack right now.
It is a movement, and it does depend on breaking through the lies. And you know, and the storm of lies is cranking up. I've noticed, for example, there are direct attempts to sabotage the movement. There was a fake press release from a fake anonymous saying that they were going to shut down the New York Stock Exchange, and then the real anonymous had to come out and say that that wasn't their plan and wasn't part of their plan of action either.
I saw that story and I thought, wow, hey, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I have to admit that it had emotional pull, but you know, anonymous does not at this point intend to do such disruptive actions. As you know, they don't want to shut down the New York Stock Exchange. What they want to do is support the democracy movement as it is jumping forward right now. And I'll tell you that right now, today in Portland, you will see an amazing thing as thousands of people meet downtown to say, we've had enough. Or as Howard Beale says in the movie, not going to take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And Mickey Huff, you still there?
I am absolutely still here.
I think that we are going to be joined now by our pledge, our membership central, and we've got a few minutes on that. Okay, I'm wrong about that. And so, Mickey Huff, I wanted to ask you about some more. Now, we're just barely touching on these 25 stories, and we won't have time to get into that many of them. But there are 25 of these stories listed, and every one of them is absolutely mind-boggling. For example, the fairy tale of clean and safe nuclear power. This is something we're experiencing here on the West Coast. We had radioactivity blasting over from Fukushima into this coast, and I detected it with a radiation detector myself in a bus filter. A bus filter was twice as radioactive as the background environment, indicating that hot particles are finding their ways into our lungs right now. And we're still being given the story that nuclear power is clean and safe, and we're being given the false dichotomy that it's either nuclear or coal. And number eight story on top censored 2012, is the fairy tale of clean and safe nuclear power. And Mickey Huff, could you comment on that?
Yeah, it's certainly a fairy tale. Although I'd suggest maybe it's more like a dystopic one at that. And we've done something different this year in Chapter 1, where we have certainly ranked and listed the stories, but we've discussed them and analyzed them in what we call censored news clusters, where we look at the architecture of censorship in a supposedly free press structure or system through topics, through themes, and understand how certain stories are more likely, more apt to be censored, spun, distorted, lied about, and so forth. And under the health and environment section, where we had sociologist Elaine Wellen and Kristen Serafin writing. We look at this story of clean, safe nuclear power. It was researched by Aaron Peacock, Ken Burrows at San Francisco State University. And again, this story is after Fukushima, we saw an outpouring in the U.S. in the nuclear industry that, oh, hey, wait a minute, this really isn't a problem, and this wouldn't happen here. And then it was sort of a finger-pointing game of, well, that's over there, nuclear power is safe over here, even though it's the same General Electric reactors there. They're used in 23, sister reactors are used in 23 nuclear plants in the United States. There are several nuclear plants built here on fault lines, near fault lines, whether it's...
And one of them is still shut down by an earthquake. That's so little known.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, I mean, as we speak, technically, but just about in the last two months, there was the nuclear problem of the shutdown in Nebraska, the flood, this flood that surrounded the nuclear plant, and they had to shut it down. These are major problems and major stories. And
I'm sorry to interrupt this in mid-flow. I really am. Now we have some breaking news here, and so we're going to go to local peace activist and frequent KBOO commentator Dan Handelman has some news about, I understand, armored personnel carriers have been seen. Okay, that's a separate piece of information, but we have Dan Handelman on the line, and so we'll just briefly interrupt there. Dan, what's your news?
Oh, hi. Sorry I was flagging as breaking news. It's not really breaking news, but I just wanted to talk about some of the top censored stories you have about the war economy and the war policies of the U.S. And on December 31st of this year, the United States is supposed to be out of Iraq completely and totally with no military troops left behind. And, of course, they're trying to find ways out of that agreement. And there is a bill that I don't hear anybody talking about called H.R. 2757 that Earl Blumenauer is the only Oregon representative to sign on to. It's got 43 co-sponsors right now. 93 representatives have co-signed a letter by Barbara Lee and Walter Jones calling for no more money to be spent on military troops in Iraq. And now there's this bill that has only 43 co-sponsors. So we really need people to think about getting more folks signed on to that, especially with tomorrow being the 10th anniversary of the occupation of Afghanistan, we thought that would be a good time to mention that as a story that people don't hear about. And we, Peace and Justice Works group I'm with, is co-sponsoring the PPRC, Portland Peaceful Response Coalition's Friday rally, which has been going on for pretty much 10 years since the invasion of Afghanistan. And you never hear about the Friday rally, 10 years every week, down at Pioneer Courthouse Square, 5 o'clock every Friday. So tomorrow it's going to be talking about 10 years in Afghanistan and trying to get the U.S. troops and contractors home.
And could be a better time for it. Well, thanks for that information, Dan. And let's return to the interview with Mickey Huff, Project Censored, Censored 2012. We have the book. This is KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell.
And I'm Per Fogring. And gee whiz. Okay. There's one story that it's been around for a while, but it doesn't go away. It's the impending demise of net neutrality. And I wonder, Mickey, could you talk about that? Because I think a lot of people, myself included, are not quite sure what it means.
Well, for the last couple of years, we've had stories on net neutrality. Elliot D. Cohen is a professor at Indian River College, one of our affiliates, has contributed, of course, to Chapter 1. Last year had a story, worked on stories with us about net neutrality, and it's a very, it's a broad issue that the way that we've written about it in the past. In Censored 2012, Elliot Cohen writes about the impending demise of net neutrality in an entire chapter in what's called our Truth Emergency section, and this year, the focus of this entire section is propaganda studies, understanding propaganda, dismantling propaganda, and of course, corporate top-down control of the internet is a key way that information can be managed, controlled, propaganda can flow, unpopular ideas can be filtered out. And Elliot Cohen writes in this chapter, he talks about, well, what is this? And the more common term, Cohen says, is network neutrality. It's a principle to which all bits are treated equally, and therefore everyone has an equal voice on the Internet. Whether you're a giant corporation, a small website operator, or anything in between. So what this means is that you can't be blocked. ISPs can't block or filter content. In other words, it's a free speech avenue. It's a free speech vehicle. And what the major telecom companies have been trying to do is create tiered structure pay-to-play models whereby if these big companies have major subscribers and advertisers and people that want to use their Internet services and they pay a fee, they have much faster technology and they rank higher in the Google search engine ranks.
Because if there's one thing corporate America can't stand, it's a level playing field.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. And you know, the whole this whole business with Occupy Wall Street, I mean, again, a friend of ours and colleague, friend of the project sitting on the Media Freedom Board with us, Nora Barris Friedman, who writes a lot about Palestine, has actually suggested, you know, she wishes they wouldn't use the word Occupy Wall Street. and actually we said, like, how about eliminate Wall Street? you know, but at any rate, rather than
Rise,
the idea here is that they want to create it such that, you know, KBOO, Project Censored, you and your blog, you don't have a chance. Local, small, or independent media, they don't have a chance of getting found out on the Internet and search engines because they're going to get crowded out by all the big payer players. And what they're really
that
playing
will happen to our website.
Playing us. They're playing the public in violation of our rights of free speech and free press and the rights to be heard.
That will happen to our website and to projectcensored.org, and that just cannot be allowed to go through. And Mickey Huff, are you still there?
Absolutely.
Well, we're getting up to the top of the hour, and so it's time to wrap it up. And we'd like to ask for, you know, what's on the top of your mind when you're thinking about Project Censored and the, you know, the historic events that are happening today with the democracy movement and our Tahrir Square and Occupy everything. What are you thinking about these days?
Well, I think that it's telling that, you know, the corporate media is still desperately trying to ignore, distort, or spin these popular grassroots democracy movements, whether they're happening in Egypt or around the world, to spin them one way or another, or whether they're happening right here at home in our backyards. And this, again, is something that we have to remember. We, the people, have to remember. We have a right to speech. We have a right to free press. We have a right to know. We have a right to celebrate and disseminate the commons of human heritage. And one of the key elements of the commons is the right to impart human knowledge and information, as well as to lay claim to our public spaces. And we are doing that in great demonstration of what our rights are and the fact that the upper 1% cannot continue to control vast amounts of the wealth and resources while the many of us toil on and suffer. Project Censored for 35 years has been a social justice organization based on freedom of information and a true free press. We may be critical of media and so forth, but we believe that independent investigative journalists really hold the key to helping fuel these kinds of democracy movements. And we need organizations like KBOO, we need organizations like Pacifica, we need Project Censored, we need Media Roots and Abby Martin, who now works with us. We're really reaching out and collaborating with more and more people throughout the United States and the world, and we're really trying to get the message out there. And that message is, corporate media are irrelevant. They are a top-down managed structure, a propaganda organ, and we the people know what information we need, and we need to know more about where to get it. So I appreciate you all having us on and supporting Project Censored over the years, and we certainly support what you do at KBOO and hope your listeners can call in.
Well, we'd like to really thank you for being on this show. I mean, this is quite an occasion. Project Censored has it's in the public eye quite a bit, but not in the depth that we hear it here. And so we really want to thank you, Mickey Huff, for being with us.
Much appreciated. And I also want to thank Dr. Peter Phillips, who is the previous director that I work closely with all the time. You know, Peter is still very much part of what we're doing at Media Freedom. And again, we're reaching out, we're growing, we're on many other campuses. I reach out to your listeners. Contact us through projectcensored.org if you have stories to nominate, if you know any faculty or students and you want to get involved, you know, up there at any of the colleges in Portland. Please let us know. Portland Community College, Portland State, Lewis and Clark, whatever it is, you know, anyone that knows faculty or students wants to get involved, anybody knows any committed members of the community, independent media groups, feel free to contact us at projectcensored.org so we can continue to grow this media democracy movement.
Thank you so much, Mickey Huff. You're listening to KBOO Portland, and you have 30 seconds left to call in during this program and join KBOO and get your copy of Censored 2012. The number to call, 503-232-8818, 503-232-8818. We still have copies. We have a line or two open you can get through right now. And I suggest very much that you collaborate with KBOO as you collaborate with this moving democracy in the United States.
Learn what's going on in the world. Don't let the corporate media and the corporations kind of catch you unawares and sandbag you. Learn what's happening to you.
This is the time to do it. 503-232-8818. Stay tuned for more of the Incomparable Radio Zine on KBOO Portland.